following recording is taken from a worship service at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this recording.
This morning, take your copy of the New Testament, turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I know that Brother Byron has been teaching expositionally, and Jared has helped with that through Mark. But I was praying and calling out to the Lord. I say, what's a word? What's a word for the church? What do we need to hear? What's something that would be relevant to our church in our time? What's the instruction to the church for all time? And that's for us to be a fruitful church. And churches are fruitful. Every so-called church, from Houston to Los Angeles to the Ukraine, from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, wherever there are a people called church, there is fruit. As we talked in Sunday school this morning, everybody is a disciple maker. We were made to make disciples. Every song is a sermon. Every TV is a teacher. What is the rest? She can't remember. But there's a board at our house that everything is relentlessly sending a message. And the church is supposed to be sending a message. And supposed to be fruitful in that message. So the title this morning is The Good Fruit Church. We're not supposed to be providing meh fruit or bad fruit. For us to be doing what we're to be doing, to be a healthy organism before the Lord, we must provide good fruit. And I am of the school of thought that God has left Christians on this earth to be His glory. And the church is the infinite wisdom whereby God has left a people to manifest His presence. How are we doing? That's why everybody in their mind right now goes, glory, God on the earth. Well, I know old so-and-so. Yeah, you are so-and-so. But there's grace for you. And there's grace for me. For us to be who God has called us to be. And to be where we are this morning. And to get where God wants us to be, there's grace for that right now available. And my hope this morning is that eternal work gets done in me. And my hope for you is that eternal work gets done in you. And that there is an eternal mark left past our lives if God delays His coming in this community because of the good fruit that was manifested for the glory of God, for the good of the church, and for the sake of those who have yet to hear and believe. So let us read together from God's Word, Galatians 6, 1 through 6, and see this emblem of the good fruit church. And then I'll do a little background, and we'll ratchet action through this, and land this thing, and do some business with God. Amen? Amen. So, and I should turn there as well. All right, Galatians, so it's 2 Corinthians. I must talk my way through this. And then Galatians chapter 6. God's Word says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. This is God's word. You say amen. Amen. So this morning, the good fruit of the church, we're going to see, first of all, that we are to share one another's burdens. So this is the introduction slide. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at verse 1 through 5 and share one another's burdens. Secondly, we'll see that there is a need to sow the gospel. There is real sowing of the gospel in the good fruit church. And lastly, there is the steadfastness in this Christian endeavor. Just click through that one. It's bad that I can see it. I wouldn't even know. All right, so this is how we're to share one another's burdens. In verse 1 through 5, we see that we're to discipline the overtaken. Discipline is a word that is not enjoyed very much in the modern church, but we're to be disciple makers. How are we to make disciples without discipline? Right here, we're looking at something that we like to call corrective discipline. And there's a word here that we can use that's going to help us understand in a positive way that when someone is off course, we should do restoration. I know there's some car guys in the house. I'm a car guy. Pat's a car guy. We know about restoration. There's a lot of what involved? Work. And what's worse than work? A lot of money. And the wife says money. Yes. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of resources. Everything that is connected to work. Your money actually is connected to your time. Isn't that right? So there's a symbol of your time. There's the actual time that you put in. The Christian life is to be given to that work and the good work of the church, which we have just abdicated, is discipline. Real discipline that is restorative in nature. And we're a church, praise the Lord, that is working on being healthier than in that. And what this requires, since this is the month of the small group, it really requires an intimate connection. So here's the plug. I hope this is being recorded so Byron can know that I'm plugging small group. But how are we to know that if you're off course, if this is the only time that I see you, I get a happy face and a handshake. But if I am in a small situation with you, when our lives get more intimate, when we're doing life on life, there's an ability to share things. There's a willingness. There are things about me that I am off track. That's just a reality. I know this, but I need help. But I'm not close enough to enough people to tell, right? That takes time. That takes effort. That's the good work of the church. And on the other end of needing to be restored, there are those who can restore. And those are people who are spiritual. Who is the one who should restore someone who has been overtaken by a transgression? This is to be implemented by only one group of people in the household of faith. Look at verse 1 again. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are, say it with me, spiritual. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say spiritually mature. Because there are some of you who are walking in the Spirit right now. The Spirit is leading you. Your attitude and your actions before God are right and just and fitting. You may not be mature in the faith, but you're walking in the Spirit. It's your right. It's your duty. You have the ability, some of you young believers in this household of faith, to take some risk. You see things you know are wrong, and we haven't taught that out of you yet. It says those that are spiritual, because there's some Bible knowers here that are hard and walking in the flesh. Say oh my if you can't say amen. Stay out of it. You better find someone, get on your face and get spiritual. That's your call. Let's not no longer sow into the flesh, which is corruption, but let's sow into life. Let's sow into the Spirit, and that is eternal life. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, and let's look at this kind of person. If you're not this kind of person this morning, there was this kind of person on your behalf. That's called grace. There's one who's done this for me. And if you walk in Him, you can do this too. And this is the testimony of God in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start with verse 12 and read through 14. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. How many of us have that? The world is caving in around us, right? All the foundations of our society that we held dear are crumbling. You know what I say to that? Good. The less that you can depend on, the better. There's only one who you can really trust. Only one who can bear the weight of your faith. And that's Christ Jesus. So lift your drooping hands. I've seen you. Strengthen your weak knees. It's time for courage. And this will be a church growth explosion of monumental proportion when the church is persecuted. We never grow in ease and comfort. But now that there are the challenges against us, it's a time for strength. And let's go on and see what verse 13 says. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame might not... What is lame? That's so cool. What is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness with which no one will see the Lord. And this is the same word that is translated restore in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Putting the lame... You're lame. Putting the lame back together. Let's heal. Let's restore. Let's take people from their brokenness to a place of restoration instead of pounding them down. We're a place of healing. We're a place of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 says as much, that we were left on this world to be ambassadors for Christ, not so that we could bring condemnation for everyone's sin. The light brings condemnation according to John chapter 3, right? Just the light's on, cockroaches, as we learned last week. And it's not always a dirty kitchen, so retract those remarks. He's retract them. Yeah, clean ones too. But we're to be reconcilers. We're left here to say, there is free grace with God. Come ye unto Him and give Him all your burdens. He will take your burden of having to stand before a holy God in unrighteousness and exchange that for free grace, complete righteousness, and not only freedom, but a task. You will receive robes. You will receive a crown. You will be a joint heir with the King. Walk on. We are to be those who restore that which is broken. And what's the attitude when we do this? Back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Well, let's back up and see the bad fruit. Let's see what the flesh is, and let's see what the fruit of the Spirit is. Verse 18 of chapter 5. We there? Say amen. Amen. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Ow! Rivalries. Go Tigers. Dissensions. Divisions. Envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we get this, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now back to verse 1 of chapter 6. What's the attitude that we're to restore people in? Gentleness. Gentleness is so far from the southern male. I are one. So I know my people. But this is what's required. It's not come in like a storm. It's come in like a healer. With a great bedside manner. That is lovingly able to assess the situation and describe the remedy. And that's something that we have to do, and that's something that I must do. It's a gentle thing that must be done. It's katarizo is the Greek word. We get catharsis, something that's cleansing, something that's restorative, something that is healing. If you're already broken, what happens when there's the gang pound or the choke slam? It's bad. And we spiritually choke slam people all the time when they don't know the way out. They are lost. Even Christians. When we sow to the flesh, we are blinded and self-deceived. We're going to see multiple times in this small passage that our problem is self-deception. If there is any way you can sit here unfeigned by what I am saying, you are self-deceived. We're all struggling with this. We're unwilling to restore because we're so self-protective. Well, it's not my place to get involved because I am walking fleshly. Well, start walking spiritually. So there are challenges on every front. For us to be a good fruit church, we must share each other's burdens, and that's the burdens of walking away. Walking wrongly, walking falsely. And we must restore that one in the spirit of gentleness. In John MacArthur's excellent commentary on Galatians, he quotes a pastor making this comment about falling into sin. Quote, I have often thought that if I ever fall into parapatoma, which is trespass, I will pray that I don't fall into the hands of those censorious, critical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers and streetwalkers and dope peddlers because such church people would tear me apart with their long, wagging, gossipy tongues cutting me to shreds. The pastor knows. And we're made of the same stuff. So on both sides of this, we need special grace, special revelation, a touch from God, to be healed from that kind of cynical thinking, to be trusting of God again, to trust that He would put people in your life to help you grow more Christ-like. That's a step some of us have to take this morning. It's a wild step. It's a careless step. It's reckless, isn't it? But you must do it to be more Christ-like. Because love is knowing that that person will destroy you, but won't. And that's the kind of relationship we must have. Yes, you're going to have the ability to take me out, but I'm going to trust you not to do it. That's what love is. We must restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. But look, there's a warning here. There's always a warning. There's a caveat to this imperative, to this command. Watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. There are things in the lives of brothers and sisters that I am, because of the sin that I've cultivated in my life, I know better. I can't help you. I will find you help, but I'm not the guy for that. And God knows that. That is heeding this warning. Right? If there is a lady with some sensitive trouble in her love relationship, I'm not the guy. There is a Titus 2 woman, we're going to hook you up. There is going to be a couple that is ready. That's maybe something that we would do. But there's just warnings. If you struggle with relapse into alcohol or drug abuse, you're not the person necessarily. You should have a healthy fear of relapse and have a warning. Or if you tend to gossip, come on. I'm just trying to be helpful. I want y'all to pray. I want more people praying. That's what he's talking about, that sharp, gossipy tongue. Stay out of it. I know that you want, you know, that information. What's going on? But if you're at risk, you've got to know enough so that you won't fall into sin yourself. So that's always a thing. And this word, that it's unfortunate the translation in modern generations or whatever, the modern translations, but the best translation of this Greek word, overtaken, is in the King James. And it's about something catching you. Whether it's a Christian that is new, and what you've cultivated in your last life, you know, your sinful life, that you're not moving, progressing fast enough, and it caught you. Or the same thing with church people, believers that are beginning to wane in their spirituality and they're sowing into the flesh and it overcomes them. So it's a sense that you're walking on, or maybe you're slowing down and you're overcome by this thing. That it's a pitfall, it's a trap, it's a snare. And if you see your favorite dog caught in something like a barbed wire fence, are you going to start screaming at it because you knew better than getting out? Hopefully you're immediately going to get down there and try to get your dog loose. And if we would do that for a family friend, wouldn't we do that for something infinitely more precious? The children of God and the saint. Know yourself. That is so self-awareness. I don't think self-esteem is our problem in the church. I think self-awareness is a good thing. Try to know yourself. I have a family that tries to help me be self-aware. And I fight against it. I have an imagination of who I am that is bloated. Much like my waist. But a sign of walking in the Spirit is an overwhelming sense of who you are before a holy God and why He has privileged you to even participate in healing a brother and sister. There's nothing more precious than being the hands and the feet of God in that kind of situation. What's some hindrances to that restoration process again? Verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Self-deception. Well, first of all, what self-deception would do is make you think, what? I'm better than them. How could they? I've been walking with the Lord long enough to not be surprised or amazed at anyone sinning. What I'm amazed by is grace. I'm not amazed that a man would fail his wife and his church. I'm not amazed. I'm heartbroken, but not amazed. I'm not amazed that people would struggle with addiction and so on and so forth. That's not what is amazing to me. what is amazing is that God would intervene and put us in a position where we could no longer walk blinded, but we have to open our eyes to God and God's Word to help a person. I told my grandfather, who was a retired pastor for 58 years, he was lying on his deathbed, and he didn't like it. It was not pleasant, and he complained a little bit about it. And I said, look, you've been on this side where I am so many times, it's God's time for me to serve you. You lay there and let us receive the blessing of ministering to you in these last days. And that's the way that it is when a person is hurting or broken, a falling into sin. It's a time for us to grow and be more mature. I want to say man up, but that didn't fit every situation. It's to really put on strength and be the voice of God for that person. And when we embrace that as a church, that we're to bring the Word of God and the heart of God and the attitude of God into every situation that He has blessed us with in providence, we're going to see tremendous manifest presence, if you know what I mean. Something Baptists may not understand. But when God is pleased to manifest His presence here richly, one of the benefits is going to be a restoration ministry that no one knows about but is happening. And we're going to see that in moments. It's the duty of every believer. See, church discipline, I belonged to a church. I was a pastor of this church. I was a pastor of a church, and there was a young man that I hook up with car people. And he was a young, single guy, and we were kind of the same age then. And he had a Corvette, and he had some other hot rods, and we would just talk shop. And when we made a connection, he didn't seem like he was walking in spirit very much, but I was trying to influence him to esteem the things of God and the people of God and come to church more. But his parents went there. And then one day I was walking down the aisle, right just like this, coming to the chancel to sit and wait for the music to start, and the mom grabbed me and said, hey. And I said, well, where's such and such? Oh, he's helping his girlfriend move furniture into his house. They're going to move in together, and I really need you to intervene. It's like, that's a heavy one. I'm going to preach. So, needless to say, I went and had this meeting with the deacons and said, hey, did you know that this guy is living with a lady that's not his wife? And they said, yeah, we knew. What? How can you know and not immediately address it? You're leaders in the church. But not only your leaders, you're members of this church. You know more than I know. I'm one guy that's shakes a lot of hands but knows a few people. That every member of this church, turn to Matthew 18, please. Every member of this church, everyone who claims the name of Christ, you are an instrument in church restoration, in church discipline, in the reconciliation of the wayward. And we'll just look at Matthew 18. By the way, this is the first time that church is mentioned in the New Testament, and it's about us restoring one another. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's enough. And if he listens to you, you have restored your brother. But if he doesn't listen to you, it goes on to say, take someone he loves and trusts, and y'all do it again. And then, if he will not hear you, now it's time to bring it to the church. But there should be, hey, I saw how you treated your son or daughter. I'd like to talk to you about that. Hey, I see the way that you're treating your wife. I'd like to talk to you about that. Hey, I'm concerned the way that you're not attending a small group or bringing your family. You know, all those, that's it. It's not getting up here and excommunicating someone. Let's try to stop that. But it's us being close enough. It's about life on life discipleship. It's being close enough to people to know. Hey, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I haven't seen you touch your wife. You know, that close. But I hear you talking about this girl at work or whatever else. You know, you just name it. There's stuff that's going on. Hey, I see that you don't seem as excited about the things of God as you once did. You look depressed. Is everything okay? Those are corrective disciplines. And that's every member's job. Now, look at verse 5 again in Galatians chapter 6. There's something that seems a little contradictory here. And I want to, when you look at the Bible, you should be reading it, asking yourself questions. So looking at verse 4 and 5, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. So we're to bear each other's burdens, but we're responsible to bear our own load. Now, this is a fortunate translation because the words here are two different things. The burden of someone falling into transgressions, we're to help them with, right? And the duty that you're to dispatch is that load. You're to not to boast in, well, our church does church discipline. Our church has a wonderful youth ministry. You know, we can go around and boast about things we're not participating in. We take real good care of our pastor, but you don't give. Do you see what I'm saying? You're boasting. You know, part of the requirement of church membership is supporting the ministry of the church. It's not tithes. It's giving as you purpose in your heart, but it is giving. Right? I don't believe the New Testament teaches percentages. It's between you and God, but you are to give. So it is with church discipline and the restorative nature of our relationships. It is our duty. That's the burden you're to bear. That's your load. So you bear your load and you're able to boast before the Bema seat of God, because Christ Jesus, we will stand before Him. How about the infinite mind of Christ? We will stand before God, all of you this morning, and me, those that are believers, and answer for everything in our lives. How big is the mind that can handle that? He's going to remind me of things I've forgotten. But the boast is, my actions and attitudes, as far as I know, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, are good for God and good for that person. I'm not trying to get anything out of this but their restoration and the glory of God. That's our boast. That's the boast that we would boast in. Not that our church is doing great things. It's that I am carrying my weight at a church God chooses to work through. Because I've coupled myself with people who believe that we all pull our own weight. That's a healthy church. All right, moving on. We share others' burdens. Also, the good fruit gospel is sowing the gospel. It's sowing the gospel. First of all, how are we to support the sowing of the gospel? First, reward the teacher. Look at, I'm not making this up. Verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word should share all good things with the one who teaches. So that's a sense of remuneration, that it should be the part of the church body to take care of the teacher so that the teacher could be employed with one thing, and that is to teach. Because this church runs on the basis of its knowledge of the Word of God. And also in an individual way, so the church's responsibility, 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the one who does this well is worth a double honor. So further back, and well, honor is not the same as money. Well, if you look back in 1 Timothy 5, we won't do this, but it says to honor the widow by giving them money. So he's saying, honor the elders by giving them money. And the one who is spending his life. I know, I'm a preacher that's doing something else. You can make much more money doing other things. He laughs. I know this. I try to help when I'm making tents. He's worth a double honor. We need to support a pastor who's going to lead us in health, to lead us on mission. And we'll see in closing that has real gospel vision, and our elders do. It's a mystery and a grace of God when there's much other things going around in this parish. I'm not judging anyone. I'm praising God for what God has given us. And it's the individual's privilege to take care of ministers. Maybe as God blesses you with something, I know putting tires on someone's car or doing something else, as you're individually blessed, it is a great thing to take care of the one who teaches you. So even if it's 101 discipleship, if some poor person is loving you and teaching you the Word and you have the ability to meet their need, it will be a blessing to them. Some of you younger ladies that might have more resources are being discipled by someone with limited resources in older age. You might could just with your company bless them, right? As they try to minister to your soul. But it's the individual's privilege to bless the one who teaches you. All right, and another message here, verse 7. Again, resist, if we're going to sow the gospel, we must resist self-deception. And I make a note here, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind is tricky. If you're sowing to the flesh, if I'm sowing to the flesh, we are going to make so many excuses why not to believe and not to share the gospel. You say, what's the gospel? The gospel is we're all born in trespasses and sin. That we were separated from the commonwealth of God. But God, being rich in mercy, sent His Son, that by grace through faith we might be saved and be able to walk in the workmanship that He has foreordained for us to walk in. But we must turn from what we love and turn to what we once hated. That's, you want my definition of repentance? Before we hear the gospel, we love our sin and we hate God. I'm sorry. You need to believe. But when He arrests our heart and we look on Christ with eyes of faith, we believe He is the Messiah. We believe He is God come to earth. We believe that He died not for the sins of the world, but He died for my sin. And that by faith I receive His righteousness. Then you love who you once hated. And you hate what you once loved. You still fall and trip in it. It's still in the intercourse of this world. You need your feet washed. But you hate it. You hate what offends your God. And you hate when you offend your God. And you know there's grace to heal you. But don't be self-deceived. Look, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. The carnal mind is tricky in thinking that I can mock God. I'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what I'll do is I'll try to atone for myself. I'll try to cover my sin with fig leaves. And we have yet to stop. No, it didn't work and it's still not working, is it? There's only one covering for sin. And that's the blood of Christ which exhausted God's wrath for all who would believe. No more condemnation. That's the message of Christ for all who believe. You're not going to fall away. You're not going to fall in it. Once you're His, you're raised to new life, and there's no way to undo the new birth. Amen. Amen. However, We're sophisticated and modern. And we must work a deception in our minds to why this is not the time and the place to share the good news. I don't want them knowing about my sin, because if I do this now, it's going to expose me as a believer. And I might not want them to know yet, or whatever. The deceptions are limitless. But as we learned this morning, anything that false, we join another camp. James tells us in the closing remarks of James chapter 3 that any kind of deception and insincerity is from demons. Because the whole reality of the demonic life in Satan is about deceiving. Whereas the reality of Christ is about light and exposing and the healing that comes from everything getting out in the open in the healthiest way possible. The only correction for self-deception is the Word of God. Amen? We're not going to mock God. It's not going to work. I may not can see it. You may not can see where I'm doing it. But when we sow to the flesh, friends, there's only one thing that can be reaped. It doesn't say eternal damnation, does it? It says corruption. And what this church on the move does not need right now is any kind of corruption. This is such a fragile, supernatural thing that's happening. This is not normal. This is not a progressive institutional framework that's in action. This is a work of God that Lacombe is here. Zero. That's it. And there is a reason. And if there is supernatural good going on here, what is working against it? The supernatural forces of evil are arraying forces daily. As God is moving in a place, the demonic forces have limited resources, right? God has limitless resources. But if we have the strength to stand, if they come in here, let's give them a fight. And let's give churches who have been battling some relief. Does that make sense? Let's stand and not be deceived. Let's strengthen our drooping hands and our weak knees. And let's put together that which is broken so we're all healed up and ready to go. And we have a sincere rotation that says you took it hard just then, fall back. And that doesn't mean you're out of ministry forever, but it's time to take off. Does that make sense? Instead of loading people down, that there's a rotation here of healing, a restorative way of living. It's the reality, if we're going to sow the gospel, that there is a promise here that if we sow it, we will reap it. Initially, the title of this that I sent to Andrew was Hard Work, Time, and the Reaping. That just sounded too edgy. So I pulled that one back. But that's the reality. Listen, just bow up. It's hard work, Harry. Where's Harry? Work in that garden. This is what this is. This is God's garden. There are going to be thorns. There's going to be thistle. There's going to be sweat of the brow. It's going to be hard, but you look past the cross before you. Look beyond for the glory. Just like Christ, who despised the shame of the cross, knowing that He would have a people of every tribe, of every nation, of every tongue for Himself. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That is not what we need. Let's sow to the Spirit. This is for me and you. And then lastly, we must stand. This is steadfast endurance. It's not a sprint. I'm Baptist. I was raised to live life in fits and starts. All right, let's pump it up. It's going to be a blah, 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 blah. That got hard. Let's do a new thing. And something comes down from Nashville. Let's go again. And then it begins to be a vicious cycle of buying magazines, paperwork, posters, and nope. It's just from one light post to the next. I ran in college. You wouldn't believe me. But that's how I had to do it. I would leave the dorm and I'd run to the next light pole. And I'd run to the next light pole. And I'd run to the next light pole. Because if I thought about running 2 or 3 miles, it wasn't going to happen. I'd just puke right there and go back to my dorm and eat pizza. It happened sometimes. But this is a marathon. This is going to be a long thing if God gives us length of days. That we're going to stay at this. That our number one encouragement is if I sow this gospel, I don't even have to be living to know it will bear fruit. I believe in the laws of nature and nature's God. I can believe in the supernatural laws and the supernatural God. That if I'm going to fall from this roof, a roof at 9.8 meters a second squared, that's a reality. And the other reality is the kind of seed I sow is what kind of plant I'm going to get. And if me and you and everyone who follows sows the gospel into the hearts and lives of people, we will reap life. With dead churches everywhere that are running on institutional momentum, who don't even know the Spirit of God in His manifest presence. We don't want to be that. If it's 90 people who are living for Christ, who are manifesting His presence, blessed be the name of the Lord. Spiritual farming is a long grind, just like regular farming. But with spiritual farming, there is eternal reward that you may not see here, but it will last. It will bear fruit. The good fruit church has vision. Look at verse 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Just, there's the time right there. The reality of reaping, right? So there's time from sowing a seed to it growing, right? There's some time in there. There's some struggles against that life. There's thorns and thistle and drought and too much rain or whatever circumstances or hard providences come about. We must be there to nurture that life. But there's more in this opportunity about time which requires vision for the future. And I believe that the elders have that. And God has blessed us with that. That we're looking, that this church's ambition, if I could say ambition, is for opportunities to do good. Yes. Not for the sake of doing good, but for the sake of the gospel. That, and we're up front. Hey, you're getting this shirt, you're getting this food, you're getting these school supplies. We want to bless you, but we want you to hear the gospel and the reason why we bless. We are receivers of mercy. We want to be instruments of mercy. We are receivers of blessing. We want to be instruments of blessing. And for us to be a gospel-bearing fruit church, a good fruit church, there has to be an opportunity and vision to see it. You're all Esters. I'm even an Esther. If we're all going to be sons of God, I can be an Esther. We're here for such a time as this. There is no providence that is wasted in your life, church. Let's not be deceived in thinking that was just a moment to waste. When those days are gone, where idleness makes us sick, and church ministry makes us strong, our gospel ministry, that's when we'll thrive, we'll flourish. It'll be so far from our hearts to think of boredom because we have so much to do for the Lord. And it's not out of the preacher said I have to do a bunch, it's out of gratitude. If it's not done out of gratitude, again, it's a self-deception. You're sowing to the flesh. This morning, maybe some of you don't know this God that I'm talking about, but something has happened where you're interested. You've heard a presentation of the God that I'm talking about this morning with new ears. You've seen the Christ of the Bible with fresh vision, and something has happened in your heart. I pray you would make that known today. Or you would search that out. That you would not rest until you sorted things out between this God and yourself. There are those here who are church members who have not been restoring folk in the spirit of gentleness. Maybe overcome with gossip. Maybe being heavy-handed and harsh. There's grace for you. There's grace for me. I'm that guy. There was one who did it perfectly on my behalf. He healed with tenderness. He extended mercy without any ambition for himself. He sought the good of others to the point of carrying our sin on the cross and being drenched and covered with your hell and mine. But he was worthy enough to exhaust it down to the last drop. And he said, it's finished. Not my life is finished, but I have freed my people. The wrath that was set for them, I drank it down. And I survived it. Now, because I'm a man of a man, a God man, I yield up my spirit. I love John's account. Every move was his move. Everything was done on his authority. He said, take me to the Romans and the Jews in Gethsemane. He said, I am. And they fell back. Right? That's this God. Who has grace for you and me, church, to be this. Can you believe that? The answer this morning for the restorative process and the good fruit bearing in this church is repent and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we need your grace. I need your grace to repent and believe the gospel. Your kingdom is at hand and it is now. That your work is now going on in the world. And we need to be the salt and the light that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would do eternal work in my heart this morning. That I would leave changed and different and more engrafted into this household of faith. That we would be closer even this morning as we consider what we could do for one another and your glory. How supernatural this fellowship could be if we would depend upon you. So Lord, I pray that we would cast aside all lesser loves. That we would turn to the one who is able to heal us, to strengthen us. Lord, may we cling to the vine this morning that will be able to give us 100-fold, 60-fold. Or 40-fold in fruit. Lord, we sow the seed. We ask you give the increase. And I ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have a time of reflection and commitment. There is nothing sanctified about this area of carpet. But what is sanctified is a heart that comes to Christ. Repent where you are. If you would like for me or one of the counselors here to pray for you, we're willing. But we have a God of your space where you are. Say yes to Him and say yes to life. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you for listening to this recording from First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.